Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Hey, locksmiths. Friend of the show and our Check the Locks Halloween episode co-host Jessica Gomez has written a dark thriller novel called Pieces of You. This creepy but emotional tale of grief, abduction, and murder is Mayor of Easttown meets Psycho, and it's perfect for all of you who love crime stories.
Nora Aberdeen, a grieving college dropout, ventures to a deteriorating small town to meet a blind date. On her drive home, a bloody young woman darts in front of her car, causing Nora to veer off the road and headfirst into a tree. When Nora regains consciousness, the woman is gone. Nora's estranged uncle, a sheriff's deputy, comes calling with information about a growing list of young women turning up dead in the small town of Woodbridge, including the woman who caused Nora's accident. The local police have written the women off as drug overdoses, but suspicious circumstances and the department's ineptitude point to something more nefarious. Unsure if she can trust the only family she has left, Nora tries to uncover the secrets of the missing young women and her connection to them, when a strange motive unfurls. Will Nora uncover the truth before the killer claims another victim?
Pieces of You by Jessica Gomez releases October 1st. Pre-order as a hardcover, paperback, or ebook online at Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, bookshop.org, or ask your local bookstore to order it for you. Sign up for Jessica's newsletter at writerjessicagomez.com and follow her on Instagram at writerjessicagomez for updates.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How has your week been?
It's hump day. My week's been pretty good. Nothing too exciting. We've had some great weather here in New Orleans, so I can't really complain. It's cooling off here. How are you? How's your week?
My week's been really good, just working. Millie is off for fall break, so she's been, you know, home a lot more during the afternoon and not having to do homework and stuff like that, so it's been cool getting to spend the evenings with her. And then this weekend, we are going to a thing called Ham Fest in Katy's, Kentucky, where they make the largest ham biscuit, Guinness Book of World Records winning ham biscuit. They had to build a special oven to be able to actually like make this ham biscuit.
So they just make like a biscuit with a piece of ham on it, and then they like slice it into pieces and serve that. Like, how does that work?
It's like a breakfast biscuit, right? So it's like,
a big biscuit.
Yeah. So it's, but
and
it's,
then just a slice of ham.
Yep. And then another biscuit on top. You know what I mean? Like a biscuit sandwich. So, and then there's a pig calling, which is fun. So you get to see people do pig calling, but they have like all the carnival games and, you know, fried cheesecake on a stick and all that stuff. So it's, you just go for like the funnel cake and like the local music and stuff.
It's like carnival fair food.
Yeah. So it's only about an hour and a half from here. So we're going to go to that and kind of hang out. And then we're going to the pumpkin patch on Sunday. So we got a pretty busy weekend coming up, but I'm excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you're having a good week. If you are listening, you know, we know there's another hurricane that is rolling through Florida and it is looking very, very intense. So, you know, Olivia and myself, definitely wishing, if you're listening in Florida, please stay safe, evacuate if you need to. But it looks like it's going to be a pretty rough one. So we're thinking about you and, you know, our hearts are with you. We definitely hope that, that you're okay. Absolutely. Your loved ones. Yeah. Stay safe. So
the Cajun Navy is ready to deploy.
It's just been crazy this year. It's like one after the other, you know, and this one just looks like it's just rolling right over Florida and then going right back to the ocean. So
we need this to just be the last one.
Yeah, hopefully it'd be
just,
nice.
I just don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to talk about it because if it's not us, it's Florida. And if it's not Florida, it's us. So we just need this one to be the last one. Milton's it. The 2024 season is wrapped up.
Also, the names. That's where I'm just like, Helene, Milton. It's like, they're very benign names. You know, like Milton is like a 90-year-old man who has hard candies in his pocket. Not a hurricane that's going to wipe out, you know, parts of an entire state. So I think they need to start naming them something a little bit more accurate. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Hurricane Tomahawk or like Chainsaw Hurricane or right. something. You know what I mean?
But Hurricane Wipeout.
Right.
Know, like, but Katrina,
yeah.
Milton, Francine.
Yeah. I'm Hurricane Ida. Milton. Like, it's, you know. Again, all that's, you know, we make jokes, but I definitely know it is very, very serious. So
it's
please.
Very scary. It's a very scary thing. And, you know, my thoughts are with all my Florida friends and our listeners. So,
yeah. And I know too, like if you live in Florida, like my grandmother lived there the majority of my adult life before she passed away. And she was always like, I'm not going anywhere. She's like, if you've been through one, you've been through. And I'm like, you live in a mobile home. Like
you're out, Granny. Yeah.
Like you're the odds are and you know what? She was always fine, but you know, especially for loved ones out of the state, it's like, oh my God, if anything happens, you know. So if they're telling you to evacuate or
you go. You just go. I mean, I rode out of one not too long ago alone and it was scary. And I evacuated for the last hurricane that we had, Ida. But it was kind of like, what do I bring? I just had like my animals and my like box of important things and everything else I just left behind. You know, it's like, I get why people don't want to leave, but you have to.
Was talking to a person at work today and they were telling me that they're in the Carolinas and four trees were uprooted on their property and fell on their house. And luckily everyone was okay. But they had to come back and assess the damage and get stuff, you know what I mean? Like photo albums and stuff like that. So they were coming through with a property manager and they went into the bedroom and they saw something like moving real vigorously underneath like the bedspread, like the comforter. So they got a stick and pulled it back and it was a giant copperhead. Apparently they nest underground. So when the tree flipped over and fell on their house, it disrupted their nest. And so it found its way into the house. They said there was two possums just hanging out. They had tore up all the curtains and everything. And
oh no.
So it's like, you know, you expect being like, I need cash. I need to make sure I have my
right. Not a copperhead and possums.
Right. You know, that's, you know, you think about like Sharknado. That's definitely not something I want to be in a hurricane with is copperheads and possums for sure.
Right. And I'm like, well, you see the alligators swimming around in areas they don't normally and snakes that come, you know, from the floodwaters and stuff, but like not in your house, a copperhead and a possum.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yes. Somebody I was talking to at work was like, so you just burned the house down, right? Like, like, you know,
cause now, you know, you have copperheads that live on your property.
Yeah. So no, thank you. But again, all of that very long-winded just to say, you know, stay safe and please take care of yourself, your loved ones. You know, make sure you're doing everything you can to keep yourself protected because it is super scary and we're just thinking about you. So with that being said, Olivia, it is your week this week. I'm super excited to cover this case because I'd actually never heard of it or gone through the details on it before, but it looks super, I don't want to say fun, but definitely on theme with what we're doing for the month. So what do you say? Should we quit with the Gabby, get to the Stabby, jump into this week's Short on Time case?
Yes, all right. I am still on the spooky season theme. So to keep with our Halloween theme, this week's Short on Time goes back to October 28th, 2014. Neighbors in a small village of Farmingdale on Long Island decorated their homes every year on Halloween. It was not unusual for some houses to have pretty elaborate decor in their yards. Now, on the evening of October 28th, multiple neighbors were confused and slightly concerned when they noticed a decapitated head with long dark hair. And shockingly, about 5 feet away and across the street was a female body with blood-soaked clothes. Neighbors began to gather at the gruesome scene, thinking it was a Halloween prank. Unsure if the body was real, they touched the torso to investigate, one neighbor tapping the head with their foot. About 20 minutes later, police arrived on the scene. Realizing that it was indeed a real human body, police immediately covered and secured the area. Now, while investigating in the small neighborhood, police were notified of a deceased individual who jumped in front of a Long Island Railroad train. The tracks were just a few blocks away from the original crime scene. The train was heading east from Penn Station. What detectives would later find out was disturbing. The female victim was identified as 66-year-old Patricia Ward, and the victim of the train, her son, 35-year-old Derek Ward. Patricia was an assistant professor of language arts at Farmingdale State College, where she had worked for 28 years. She helped high school students prepare for college and was well-respected and liked amongst her peers. Her son Derek Ward was 35 years old. He shared an apartment with his mother, Patricia. Derek had a history of psychiatric illness starting back when he was 10 years old. Ward had several arrests and even served jail time for criminal mischief and weapon and drug possession. Detectives believed they had a murder-suicide on their hands. What they were able to piece together was that on Tuesday, October 28th, Derek and Patricia were at home in their second-floor apartment. Just before 8 p.m., Derek attacked his mother with a kitchen knife, stabbing her repeatedly in the abdomen. He then beheaded her before dragging her body down the stairs and displaying her remains in the street. But there were no witnesses to the crime. According to the Ward family, Derek's behavior exacerbated itself within the last year, and it just seemed to be that he was acting out. And just 2 months before the murder-suicide, Derek was discharged from inpatient care at a psychiatric hospital. So this is this week's Short on Time. It's pretty devastating and kind of disturbing, you know?
Yeah. What do you think? It's super gory for sure. And, you know, as we were going through it, I'm just like trying to, cause I'm somebody like, I love good Halloween decorations. When I was growing up, I don't know if I ever talked about this on the podcast before, but when I was growing up, we would do these cardboard cutouts and we put costumes on them. And then we'd have like fog machines and strobe lights in the front yard. And we'd put everything out the like Halloween morning, so that nobody could kind of get used to like what cutouts were there. And then we would dress up and go stand in the yard real still. And you would wait for people to walk by, like jump out. And like all of our friends got together. We had like spiders in a tree that we dropped from a rope. And, you know, like it was a big thing, right? So yeah. Halloween decorations, just again, some of my favorite. So to live in this area in Long Island and be like, oh man, like I would just be like, dude, look how cool that looks. It looks so realistic. And then I would poop my pants because I'd be like, oh my God, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to imagine what was going through their heads when they realized like, oh, this is not like a Halloween prank. I'd be absolutely terrified.
Yeah. And some of the articles, like this one neighbor was like, yeah, my 16-year-old son came home and was like, I'm pretty sure there's a dead body in the street. And they just kind of like laughed him off thinking they were joking. And like the neighbors were like, the head looked like it was kind of fake. And so they didn't really know. And it wasn't unlike the neighborhood to have these elaborate decorations. And like even here, like there's houses that people just stop at. The skeleton house. You can go that right now. It's all Taylor Swifted up. Half of it this year. So like even here, there's like so many houses that are just so decorated and so realistic that I could see like if that's what you were used to, just like, I mean, it's just a few nights before Halloween, somebody's just setting this stuff up, you know?
Yeah, it would be weird that it was in the street. I think that would put like a red flag. You know what I mean? I know There was a guy here in Tennessee who he had like stuffed a dummy to make it look like he was hanging from the gutter. Like, you know, like he was working on doing something, he had fallen or whatever. So it was like just a dummy hanging, and somebody called the cops and we're like, somebody needs to help this guy. He's been stuck up there forever. And they get there. It's just, you know, it's a dummy.
Just a dummy. Yeah.
Or I was reading an article about, like somebody took a dummy and like rolled it up in carpet and like covered it in red paint, make it look like blood. and then had the feet sticking out and just left it on their front porch. And somebody was like, oh, there's a dead, you know what I mean? So like, there are instances of these being very realistic and people freaking out. But, you know, like I said, I would soil myself.
Yeah. Once you realize that was real.
Yeah. 110%.
Like people are just staring at it, like looking at it, poking at it. Like, is this real? Is this fake? Like what in the world? And then like, as they're investigating it, they get a call that there's someone hit by the train, just, you know, not too far away. And
yeah, I can just imagine the whole neighborhood in a circle. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen Stand By Me, the, okay, well, for folks who have, like, the big premise is like these kids are going to go see if they can find a dead body. Right. And at the end of the movie, they find it and they're just like, oh, that's like, okay, wow, this is more messed up than like we thought it would be, you know? And I just imagine this whole town just kind of standing around just being like, oh yeah, this is really, really messed up. And then you have the extra layer of just being like, here's this woman who probably loved her son very much, you know, has obviously spent time like trying to, you know, help with his mental illness and is allowing him to live with her and, you know, has been very recently in and out of a psychiatric hospital. I think even in that case, right? Like, I think there's part of us as parents that are like, my child won't hurt me. I think we talk. Yeah. I think this kind of ties back to like that Lisk murder that we did on Monday, right? The family murders. But it's like, I wonder if there was an element of like, yes, he's going through somebody, still my child, he wouldn't hurt me. And, you know, when you just snap like that, I don't think anybody's safe when you're dealing with those kind of issues, you know?
No, not at all. Well, if we're talking deadbolt tests, what are you thinking?
Man, for this one, I think just for putting the pieces together in your brain in that moment, I mean, I would probably put this at an 8 just because I'm, like I said, I'm just trying to imagine how I would be feeling if I, you know, found a body in the middle of the street and then you learn like how it happened. And then the guy, you know, went and threw himself in front of a train. I'm like, oh, like I'm looking at evidence from a murder suicide. I'm looking at a victim. It would mess my head up for sure. Especially if I like came up to him and was like, oh, look how cool this is. You know, like Halloween. Like, yeah.
So you realize like, no, this was like a brutal murder.
Yeah. It would mess with me a lot. And to know it happened like, you know, right next door to me or something like that. Like I wouldn't sleep for a while. So I think for me, I'd put this in 8. What about you?
Yeah. I'm going to go right there. About a 7. Similar things. Like just being like, oh, just thinking you're just seeing regular Halloween decorations and then just being like, oh, wow, no. And like, oh, no, like this poor woman that was living in our neighborhood and what she must have been going through with her son and for him to have attacked her like that. And she let him in her, like live in her house and things. So just pretty scary to know that, again, someone you love and care about and nurture and raised and birthed can kill you is just devastating to me. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. For sure. Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test for this week's Short on Time episode. Olivia is coming in at a 7. As always, my parent radar was going off a little bit, so I'm going to put it in an 8 there. But we want to know from you, the listeners, the locksmiths, where does the murder of Patricia Ward fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. In fact, I just dropped them yesterday. But Olivia, I know you saw him. I wanted to pick your brain about it. But I thought with Halloween coming up, we always do our Jessica Gomez episode, our very special guest. Again, her book, Pieces of You, is available everywhere now. You should probably go buy it, read it. But I decided, I thought it would be kind of fun if we did some Check the Locks Halloween coloring pages.
I saw that.
Yeah. So AI is a crazy thing. So I was basically just like, 3 podcast hosts and like do the description, get chased by Michael Myers or whatever. So I dropped them in the Facebook group. I did also drop them on Instagram if you're not a Facebook person. But if you would like, we would absolutely love it if you, you know, printed them out, colored them. If you do like take any kind of like, yeah, take a picture of it, upload it
on Facebook.
We would love to see your creativity. I know,
and
some
if
people
color my flannel. It's pink, purple, and maroon.
Yes, that she's very specific about her flannel. So but I know some people use like digital coloring apps and stuff like that. We, like I said, we would absolutely love to see what you come up with. And I thought it'd be fun. I'm going to drop a few different ones throughout the month, right? So if you like it, you want to do some more, there's a couple extra. So come check out the Facebook group. We're trying to do fun stuff again, really build a community. We'd love you to be part of that.
I wonder if I could color it on my iPad. I'm not that tech savvy, but.
You probably could, but I think you would need like a specific app for it. And I'm pretty tech savvy and I haven't figured it out yet. So.
Okay. Well, when you figure it out, let me know.
I'll send you the app and be like, yeah, just use this. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help support the show financially, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits. You get stickers, coffee mugs, things like that. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us keep the lights on, throw us a few nickels, a few dimes, however you want to do it. patreon.com/checkthelocks, get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and hanging out with us and sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that is you, you're telling people to listen, hey, check out this weird little podcast. You know, I really like it. I think you'd like it too. Send it out there. That helps us so much. It gets us in front of new listeners. It helps our community grow. And it really is that grassroots kind of word of mouth thing that does a huge deal for podcasts like ours. So if that is you, you're sharing it, you're telling people to check it out, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.